in this episode of My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State.
And she gets to the back of the bus, and she turns to the guy next door and goes, "Which way is Lake Lansing?" And he's like, "That way." She goes, "Thanks." Kicks down the back emergency door and sprints like it's the end of One Flew Over Cuckoo's Nest. And everyone's cheering, and the bus driver is swearing, and the alarms are going off.
Caitlin Shaw experiences a full-out mutiny on her McDonald Middle School bus in East Lansing. Ken Bieber advertises his unauthorized high school party in Frankenmuth in the only way one could back in 1990.
My friend Greg and I were driving through town, and I was waving bags of red party cups, so reminding people. So that was part of the lore.
That's how you reminded people was... You drove through town waving red solo cups. That was like your...
Yeah.
And Nathan Brown could describe in one word how it felt to be accepted as the only freshman into the esteemed Interlochen Summer Arts Camp.
Amazing.
I bet. Great.
Teen Stories. Up next on My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, I'm Rob Prince. Thinking about my time at McDonald Middle School in East Lansing, I'm afraid to say does not bring up many positive memories. I don't really blame the staff and teachers entirely for that. I largely blame the rotten kids I had to go to school with. That said, I'm pretty sure I was a schmuck in middle school as well. Anyway, our next storyteller is a fellow alumni of McDonald Middle School and would agree that some of her former classmates weren't angels, but she has a much more forgiving attitude about it today than I do. Caitlin Shaw's story pretty well summarizes how chaotic life can be when you pack a bunch of young tweens and teens into a middle school bus with limited supervision. I interviewed her about this story at our December 17, 2025 live event at Schuler Books in Okemos. Here's Caitlin.
My story is about the day I swore to never take the public school bus again.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so I want to preface this story with this happened in middle school, and nobody is their best self in middle school. So please get everyone in, like, this story some slice. There's a lot of emotions. You have bad days. I'm sure these people wouldn't act this way now.
All right, set the stage. Where did this happen and when did this happen?
This was when I was in seventh grade. Yeah, like 9 years ago.
Wow, 9 years ago you were in middle school. That's impressive. And where?
East Lansing, so McDonald Middle School. Did you go there?
I went. I took that same bus.
The same bus. Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Trauma bonded.
Oh, totally. Okay. I am so invested in this story now. Tell me.
Okay. I hated the bus because I was on the bad bus. Like, I was the bus where we had to constantly get a talking to, and people were misbehaving. And then they would try to kick people off the bus, which doesn't work because they still live where they live, so they have to come back to the bus. So, and this day was particularly terrible because I got, like, halfway to the bus and forgot, like, something in my locker. So that meant I couldn't get my seat on the bus because I always sat in the absolute front of the bus.
Because, yeah, because that's where the good kids sit.
Exactly.
All the trouble happens in the back.
Everyone knows the farther back you get, the crazier it gets. So it wasn't the end of the world. I sat in, like, the middle of the bus. So, like, not great, but it was going to be okay. And my friend... I wouldn't say friend. I had, like, a bus acquaintance, Sam. And we had this, like we had barely spoken, but we had this, like, unspoken pact that, like, if we sit together on the bus, no one's going to, like, bother us. So it was, like, a mutual defense pact. So.
This is sort of the NATO of McDonald's.
The NATO of McDonald's school buses. Okay, so the bus ride starts. Everything's fine. I mean, I'm getting hit with a couple colored pencils. But those are hitting everyone. So, like, I know it's not personal. And then we get to the first stop, and as we're, like, starting to, like, stop the bus, I feel kind of this, like, breeze behind me, like there's motion, and I'm like, well, I'm in the middle of a bus, and all the windows are closed. So like, what is this? So I turn around. I'm like, ah, there's a fist fight in the seat behind me. So I look at this full on like swinging arms going everywhere. So I'm like, what do I do? What do I do? And the only thing my brain can think of is it's like a tornado drill. So I duck down in my seat and I cover my head because I'm like, this is going to save me.
You cover your cross your hands behind your
exactly.
neck.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I do that. My Sam next to me is like, what on earth are you doing? She stands up, turns around, gets hit by a punch and goes flying into the aisle. Sam was fine. But at this point, the bus driver stops the bus and is like, what the hell is happening? And of course, his mistake is he left the bus doors open. So the people who started the fight run off the bus. Everyone who stopped it has run off the bus. He stops the bus and he starts like screaming at us about how we're all terrible people. And we're trying to explain to him, like, no, like, the people who started the fight got off the bus. He doesn't want to hear it. It's like, everyone sit down. I have to report this. He gets on the radio. And, like, a minute goes by. 3 minutes go by. 5 minutes go by. 10 minutes go by. And it's, like, hot out. The bus smells. Like, nobody wants to be here, but we're stuck here while he's, like, complaining on the radio. I mean, I'm sure he was actually doing, like, important reporting stuff like he was supposed to. But we're sitting here, and this girl from the back goes up, and she's like, I want to get off the bus. And I'm like, yes, because none of us want to be here. And he's like, no, go sit down. And she goes, fine. And a voice that all middle school girls know to fear. And she, like, I don't want to say power walks, but she walks with intent. And, like, everyone's watching her as she goes to the back of the bus. Like, this girl means business. And the bus driver's oblivious. He's back on the radio complaining about how we're ruining his life. And she gets to the back of the bus. And she turns to the guy next door and goes, which way is Lake Lansing? And he's like, that way. She goes, thanks. Kicks down the back emergency door and sprints like it's the end of One Flew Over Cuckoo's Nest. And everyone's cheering and the bus driver is swearing and the alarms are going off. And he's running to the back of the bus like through all the like revolutionized students. And he pulls the door shut and he's screaming expletives. He is not supposed to be screaming. And he gets to the front of the bus, yells on the radio again, drives to the second stop. And every single person gets off the bus because we cannot take it anymore. And I'm my good little, like, nerd self who sits in the front of the bus. So I go up and I'm like, Mr. Bus Driver, like, I know this isn't my spot, but can I pretty please? And he's like, just go. And it's like head in his hands. And I get off and I have to walk, like, 5 extra blocks home, but it's fine. I go in and I look at my mom and she's like, how was school? And I'm like, Mom, I'm going to bike home from now on. And thus started my love of bike riding as I bike to and from school every day.
Caitlin Shaw. She shared that story at our December 17, 2025 live event at Schuler Books in Okemos. Super special thanks to Luke Freisinger, Amanda Strong, and the staff at Schuler Books in Okemos for making that event happen. This is My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, the Teen Stories episode. I'm Rob Prince. The legendary 80s teen movies of John Hughes present teen recklessness in a pretty appealing light. It's no wonder that a teen at the time would be tempted to try and imitate the epic parties seen in those classic films. But you can't really recreate those parties in the real world, right? Well, our next storyteller tried, and I dare say succeeded in doing just that in one of the most unlikely towns in Michigan. A teenaged Ken Bieber decided he would say goodbye to the 1980s in the most John Hughes way possible from his home in Frankenmuth, Michigan, of all places. Yes, Michigan's Little Bavaria, the home of the world's largest Christmas store and two legendary family-style fried chicken restaurants, was the scene of the most Ferris Bueller-esque 80s party I've ever heard of for one epic night in the summer of 1990. I spoke to Ken about it over the phone from his home in East Lansing. Here's Ken.
You went to Frankenmuth High School. Oh my gosh, I have so many other questions because I love Frankenmuth so much. But anyway.
Yeah, well, I graduated in 1990. My parents threw me a graduation party. We weren't farmers, but we lived in a farmhouse with a barn. And then later that week, they left town. They went on a trip. And I threw a huge party trying to make it like, you know, it was spring of 1990 and, you know, grew up with all the John Hughes films and, you know, the big parties and so and for me it was kind of like, well, it was the end of the 80s. I was trying to throw this party that was worthy of an 80s teen film, you know, and to get out the word about, hey, am I having a party? You had to do it all word of mouth.
Yeah, you didn't like put out flyers or anything. You just started telling people.
My friend Greg and I were driving through town and I was waving bags of red party cups. So reminding people. So that was part of the lore.
That's how you reminded people was you drove through town waving red solo cups. That was like your.
Yeah. Yeah. Remind people.
And they just were like, they knew where you lived, and that's how they were like, oh, right.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Like, how many people would you estimate were there? How many kids?
I think it was probably 100, I think.
Okay.
Actually, I left for a while. I was walking down the road because I felt like it was starting to get out of control. And so I was walking with a couple friends, and my sister's friend was kind of guarding the house because people were trying to come in the kitchen and get glasses and stuff. And so she taped all the cupboards shut and was keeping them out of the house. And, you know, it felt like it was starting to get out of control. So.
And the out of control you were feeling was that it was now overflowing from the barn into the house. And that was more than you've been banking on.
Yeah, they were in the barn. Well, they're mostly outside. It was decent weather. And I was trying to keep them away from the barn in case anybody, you know, because there's a lot of old hay bales in there. And it was an old dry barn. And if anybody, you know, flicked a cigarette in there, it could have just burned the place down. And so they're mostly in the yard, but some were in the barn. But yeah, some people were trying to get in the house. And I felt like it was starting to get out of control. So I was getting nervous. And the police said they said there were miles away people were gone. They could hear the noise, you know, from this party. And so
did you have an amplifier? How was it so loud?
Well, I'd invited a couple bands to come, and they were and it's just flat farmland, so the sound travels. I had actually talked to the police. They didn't know I lived there. And they told me, hey, you and your friends need to leave because whoever owns this place is going to get in trouble. And then I ran across the field and I was running to the barn and I was yelling, cops. And when I got to the barn, all these friends were they're dragging this keg around trying to hide it, you know, before the cops got to the barn. And then my sister's boyfriend at the time, he threw it on his back and he ran out into the field. One of my friends told me that his cops were writing me a ticket. They were crouched, you know, looking through the weeds and passing the tap around, you know, watching me get busted.
And no, then, he threw the keg on his back and just took off through the weeds and hid in the grass.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a solid.
Yeah, and then the original the original ticket was for selling alcohol or providing alcohol to minors, but then later it got changed because there was no proof of that, you know, because the keg was out in the field. And then, you know, I had to tell my parents what had happened. And I told them on the phone, they were up north and they were very, disappointed, upset. And then, but when they came home and I was going to get punished, I kind of made a case for why I shouldn't be punished. And
was your case?
Well, I opened the ledgers of who'd been punished when for what wrongs in our family. And I said, you know, when I compare it to these other situations in our family history, I haven't done that bad. And so I got off probably more than I should have. But
wow. You kind of used the whataboutism sort of response. Like, how can you be bad about this? What about the other time?
That's right. Yeah.
So basically, your sisters had been so bad that I got you some slack.
I don't want to name names. That was the, but I.
Well, anyway, there was precedent that you were not the worst. And did this end up on your record or anything? Like,
no, it was just a noise ordinance. So it was basically a ticket. And my dad went with me and one of my sisters to court to pay the fine for violating the noise ordinance. And my other sister was hiding in the house, so she didn't get a ticket, but I had to stand before the judge and then I had to pay the fine. So when it was time to pay the fine, I pulled out this wad of dollar bills, you know, because I had charged all these kids, you know, money. And so
how much was the fine?
I think it was about $100 total for me and my sister. And
you
and
paid then, it in can you hear me now?
Yeah. Right before I went to Western Michigan University in the fall, I was at a gas station and this one kid who was a grade behind me, he told me, oh yeah, you know, at the orientation at the high school, principal's welcoming everybody. He referred to your party, you know, and he was saying that if the cops had taken pictures, some of the athletes would have been suspended for being caught at a party. So don't go to parties. But he referred to my party. So it had, I guess it entered the, you know, the legendary history at the high school. Actually, I did go back a few years later to the high school, and I talked to that principal and wanted him to know that I was actually a better person than I had been. So I did, both from my parents and even from talking with him, I kind of came to understand grace better. You know, it was a learning thing for me. And
has it like informed you as a parent of what sort of grace to have with your children?
Yeah, a part of it was on the one hand, my wife Carla told me to quit telling stories about my youth with a big smile on my face saying, oh, you should never do this.
But,
yeah, I haven't been as trusting. Like my parents would leave us for a weekend and trust us. And from my own example, I thought, well, we're probably not going to do that. And then when we have said, hey, just because I did this means you can't. So you don't get a free pass because of that. You know, what's funny is that road, it was South Fire Road outside of north of Frankenmuth on the way to Saginaw. And it's such a, there are a number of houses on it, but it's such a quiet road. And that night there were just cars parked all up and down the road. And, you know, there were bands in the barn. It was really loud. It was like the hottest place to be in Saginaw County that night. When I go a little bit out of the way, if I'm out there to drive by, it's just still so quiet, like it was that just flat, quiet farmland.
Except for one night in 1990.
Yes.
when the ground shook.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Ken Bieber, he shared that story with me over the phone from his home in East Lansing. This is My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, the Teen Stories episode. I'm Rob Prince. Would you like to see My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, live and in person, and maybe share your own true story from Michigan with us? Well, lucky you, we've got all sorts of free events planned around Michigan in April. We'll be in Lansing at the Fledge on Thursday, April 9 at 6 p.m. Then we're headed to the Hastings Public Library on Thursday, April 16 at 6 p.m. And finally, we're returning to the Lit in Grand Rapids on Friday, April 17 at 7 p.m. To stay fully in the loop, you can subscribe to our e-newsletter at mymichiganstory.com. That's mimichiganstory.com. And you'll get about one email a month filling you in on all the latest scheduled events and other My Michigan Story news. MyMichiganStory.com is also where you can contact us about sharing your own true story from Michigan. We're looking for awesome true stories from Michigan told by the people who experienced them. They can be any length and any subject. Just shoot us a message and we'll be in touch to hear your story. Again, the website is MyMichiganStory.com with an M-I at the start. This is My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, the Teen Stories episode. I'm Rob Prince. Nathan Brown was a typical, healthy, athletic teenager when he suddenly developed a rare disease called autoimmune encephalitis at the age of 14. I interviewed him about his story of going from a promising musician on the oboe to being confined to a wheelchair at our December 17, 2025 live event at Schuller Books in Okemos. Sadly, the disease affected his ability to speak, so I will break in at points in the story to help set the stage for what's happening. His story begins when he was in elementary school and decided to join his school band. Here's Nathan.
So, back when I was only 10, I joined my school band class, and I picked the most difficult instrument, which is the oboe, and I got really amazing.
Good. Did you liked playing it?
Hell yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I got really great at it.
Nathan stuck with the oboe through middle school, and after he finished the eighth grade, his father drove him to the famous Interlochen Center for the Arts to audition for their oboe program. They returned home, and Nathan waited to find out if he had been accepted.
Bye, yeah. Mom, later, I found out that I was accepted.
Wow, congratulations. How did that feel?
Amazing.
I bet. Great.
Nathan had been accepted as the only high school freshman at Interlochen that year, and it seemed like his music career was off to a fabulous start. But one of the things Nathan liked about going to Interlochen wasn't just getting to improve his musicianship.
Well, I hadn't left on my own without my mom and dad.
Oh, be careful. Your mom is right here. But it is nice. I mean, we both have our moms. We like our moms, but sometimes it's fun to be on our own, right? I get it, man. Give me a fist bump. So you got to be on your own. How did that feel?
It was different, but I really liked it.
Good.
While Nathan was at Interlochen, he suddenly became very sick. He started having tremors and trouble walking and had to leave the camp early. At the hospital, he and his family learned that he had a very rare brain and spine disease called autoimmune encephalitis. He spent 6 months in the hospital, and the disease left him with very limited mobility and affected his speech.
Is there anything you want people to know about your condition or what it's like to be you?
Well, easy, but my life has never been the easiest thing in the world. I write my own money, and I YouTube.
Well, While Nathan was no longer able to play the oboe due to the disease he developed at just 14 years old, he was able to continue to write music and get that music produced thanks to help from some talented musicians at Michigan State University.
Can you give me a fist bump?
Hell yeah!
Oh boy, that's gonna be a big one. Yeah! All right, Nathan Brown, ladies and gentlemen.
Nathan Brown. He shared that story at our December 17, 2025 live event at Schuller Books in Okemos. He turned 22 years old 3 days after that event, but it is with a very heavy heart that I tell you that just a few days after his birthday, Nathan Brown passed away. So we dedicate this episode of My Michigan Story to Nathan Brown and his family. While I only got to have that one brief conversation with Nathan, I can tell you that he made a powerful impression on me and everyone who attended that event for his joyful attitude and his delightful and friendly personality. Here is one of the songs Nathan composed before he passed away, called Music on My Mind.
Some people would think of it as a curse, but I know it is a blessing to have music always on my mind. Some people would think of it as a curse, but I know it is a blessing to have music always on my mind. The way it just flows through my
That was Music on My Mind, composed by Nathan Brown. You can hear more of his music on YouTube at Nathan Brown and Friends. That's Brown with an E on the end. Thanks for listening to this edition of My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, the Teen Stories edition. My Michigan Story is produced by Luke Freisinger, Jonah Beauchamp, Leah Halberek, Tess Reed, Everett Getchter, Evie Ansari, Brooks Blackledge, and myself, Rob Prince, and edited by me as well. My Michigan Story is presented by WKAR in East Lansing, Michigan. Remember, I can't make My Michigan Story without your Michigan Story, so get me your story today at mymichiganstory.com. That's mimichiganstory.com.